You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com. The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
Welcome, welcome, welcome everyone to Sando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Wren, a.k.a. Dave from L.A., and this is Sando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. Just want to thank you all for listening today. Today is October, it's Thursday, October the 1st, 2015, and we have a live show for you today. And before we get started with the show, of course, let's make these very important announcements about supporting Black Talk Radio Network. Please, everyone, continue to support Black Talk Radio Network. Support by telling your friends, family, telling different people that you know that would be beneficial to the show, coming on as guests, or just the interesting things that are going on within our community, within the global community itself that people need to know about. Also supported by, spreading the word about it, being committed about it. Find out what you can do to help Black Talk Radio Network continue its mission and continue its obligation to you and its goodwill and its charitable contributions by you. By the network. Also, you can also support the network monetarily, financially. That would be great because that maintains the overall direction of the network so that we can continue to grow and bring you the things that you need that have benefited you so far. It can only get better by the support that you give. Imagine what Black Talk Radio Network could do with you by its side, in all facets. So, hey, today is October 1st. Definitely want to talk about some things. And also, before we get started, go to Tando Radio Show and check out on Facebook and check out what we have posted there. Some of the articles, some of the stories that we have, and what the show is going to be about, we posted there, and also it's posted in Black Talk Radio Network. You know, I caught the last part of Scotty. I know I'm going to listen in tomorrow to hear Scotty's guest tomorrow. Can't wait to hear Scotty's guest. But I caught the last part of Scotty was saying something about Iran, Iraq, and Russia and Syria. And that there was a base inside of Iran, I believe he said. I mean, Iraq, inside of Baghdad. Yes, I saw, and then he said that he doesn't see that any longer on his timeline and can't find the source. If it was out of Baghdad, you can pretty much say yes to that because it was kind of yesterday, the Secretary of Defense, and even today, the prehistoric dinosaur or T-Rex John McCain admitted that the U.S. was informed that they should be out of Syrian skies by the Russian Air Force because of airstrikes that they were going to be doing, and it was done in Baghdad, where a general went into in Baghdad to inform the U.S. because that's like a center place for the militaries right now. And so if that was it, Scotty, I did read that myself, and not only that, it was confirmed by, the story was confirmed. I'm not saying that that was the exact story that you were saying about, but that probably validates some of the information that you would have had earlier, the talking about the base. So yes, that is very, very plausible, and looking at the dynamics, you have some form of validation by what happened yesterday when the Russians told the U.S. That they were going to be performing airstrikes and for them to get out of Syrian skies. It was done in Baghdad. They were notified in Baghdad. So if that helps you out, bruh, just wanted to let you know, because I just caught the last part of it. Okay, so, hey, we got a full show for you today, and what I want to do is we have, let me see, is Brother Davis is there. Let me, Brother Davis, you there?
Yes, sir, brother, I'm here.
Hey, what's going on, Brother Davis? How you doing?
I'm in superb spirits, brother. I mean, I had a good day, and I'm enjoying the company of my wife. And we,
there you go.
I'm looking forward to the show.
Man, I'm glad that you're here and joining in with us. You know, and while you're there, Brother Davis, you could just, you know, chime in at any time. And what I really wanted to do, I wanted to talk to you today and just, and I didn't get to call you back and set anything up. But we can, you know, we can handle a lot of things. But one of the things that was very pressing today is that Russia carried out a second airstrike today.
Yes.
And they carried out this airstrike. And then not only that, some of the things that was happening in Russia, Russia actually started their draft. They actually drafted 150,000 more troops into... they call them the conscripts, into the Russian military. They did that in the last 24 hours, and they actually aligned with some of their Chechen, some of the Chechen troops that they, well, they don't have, some of the Chechen support that they have. And so this thing is really, really expanding, and it's not going to actually go away. This is, as Scotty said, this is really developing into something very, very serious on his show just before Tando went on. And that is exactly, you know, right, because of all of the, there are many reasons as to why. And it's so important that we understand what's really happening. Then there was John McCain that went on Fox News today and basically said that that the U.S. should start supplying weapons, anti-aircraft, surface-to-air missiles, which is nothing more than, you know, a way to shoot down planes, surface-to-air missiles to the rebel forces within Syria that they support. He's talking about the Free Syrian Army.
Absolutely. And we have to understand that we're talking about warmongers.
Yeah.
Putin is making a statement on the world stage. And believe me, he's not going to back down. If any of you are familiar with John McCain, he has a piss-poor war record, but yet he has been respected because of a pardon given him by a president. He was literally supposed to be prosecuted for war crimes.
Yep.
So now he's trying to make a statement like he's a war, like he's a war hero. But really what we see here is evil in its purest form when you see inhumanity to man. And the reason why I say that is because these people are putting themselves in a position where neither of them can back down, but neither of them have any, neither of them have any skin in the game. You know who got skin in the game? We do.
Thank you,
that's why this is a very, very volatile situation. Because at this stage of the game, they're willing to send our sons and daughters, and listen, they may not be sending them far, because if Putin's pushed, he will put this war on one of the coasts.
Woo,
and we have to open up to that. And the reality is that we have found ourselves in a situation as Americans where we can't help but receive carnage, whether the carnage is on a foreign soil or right here on our soil. There's going to be a great price to pay. And when this dollar drops, which is one of the main reasons Putin's doing this, make no mistake, he knows that if he pushes this war, the only way the United States feels that they're going to be able to restructure their economy, as well as to be able to attain a certain degree of financial wealth, is through war. Americans have done it time after time.
Yeah.
But the cost has always been greater to us, the citizenry, because our sons, our daughters, and people we don't even know are being victimized by a concept called patriotism that doesn't even come into play. But you'll hear about it, but it doesn't come into play.
Man, well said, Brother Davis. There was so much that you said that was right on point and right where this is why the great council of the wise is so important. You know, and today Netanyahu, who really is the first Israeli prime minister that was ever born in Israel. All the other prime ministers were actually not even born in Israel or not even from Israel. You know, their lineage goes back to the Red House of Russia, affiliated with overthrowing Russia with the Nazis. But, you know, he said today at his UN address, we shall not stay silent, is what he said. And, yes. And I listened to this speech, and it, the whole, everything is so set up. And like you said, Brother Davis, what we have to understand, war is not going to just be fought in the Middle East. It's not going to be fought in Europe. This is going to be the war, the New Age war, that will be fought right here where you call and where we call the United States. Never have this country has never experienced that before, but that was then and this is now. The technology and the capabilities, and not only that, the theater of operation has totally changed, and this time you will actually see the advent of war and destruction right here within this country. And it's something that you really need to prepare for, and I'm glad you brought that up on a different coast. And it's going to be, you know, the West Coast, the East Coast, the Gulf Coast. And it's also going to be coming out of the Northern Coast, because they will be coming in through Canada and through Alaska. Just, you know, Brother Davis, I'm glad that you said the things that you said, because you're absolutely right. You know, these guys have no skin in the game, and they can't. They put themselves in a position, because that's what it's called for now, to do that, for the general public to think that, oh my gosh, we're being attacked, so that we can segregate ourselves from what's really going on, and looking at this in a more global set of being that these governments are in a fraternity against us, because 97% of all the casualties of war are civilians of the individual country. Has nothing to do with the military. It has nothing to do with the government officials itself. The government officials never go to war. They broker treaties, and they broker deals while they break your lives. And this war that we're going to see, and this next time, they're going to draft our daughters. And I don't know about you, but that's not my plan. That's unacceptable to me. Drafting our daughters, no way in the world.
Actually, women in war have been a concept from the beginning of time. Now, let me make some clarity here, because I don't want you to think that women are bred for war. No. Women have always fought alongside their men in times of distress. And that is because that is what builds that so-called unit. Okay? Now, when I say to you that this will be the most, diabolical war ever fought, because the entities that are being bought into this are all basing their reasons on their philosophies. All right? Now, when I say that, I mean the communists feel like we're coming in from a communist capitalist point of view. Now, I understand that sounds like an oxymoron, but it is not now, because China has changed the game of communism. Putin is coming in from the angle of trying to restructure a old country into a superpower that it once was, but never touched it. See, now what the United States comes in at is they are trying to implore the world under a new world order. Now, eventually, they may get their way, but they may not get their way according to the way they want it. That is why it's pivotal that the Zionists, meaning Netanyahu and the Jews make it very clear that they want to have a representation.
Reflect the views and opinions of
Right. Hey, I'm
home,
Brother David. I think
the Black Talk Radio Network.
The commercial was prompted. One sec. Well, hey, not going to go.
No, Brother Dave, that was that was engineer error.
Okay.
All right. That was on me.
Okay, no problem. Hey, thanks, Scotty. Hey, hey, Scotty, you there?
Yes.
Okay. Hey, Scotty, I caught the tail end, and Brother Davis is on, Scotty. And,
greetings,
Brother
Davis.
This is Scotty. He's on, too. Hey, Brother.
Hey, Brother.
Scotty, I caught the last part of your show, and it was a great show. And I heard you talk about something that was posted on your timeline, and it was gone. And I just caught the last portion of it talking about the alliance between Syria, Iran, and Iraq, and that there was a base inside of Iraq. I wasn't quite sure if I...
Well, I didn't say... I wasn't saying a base, but some kind of command center. Which is probably on a base, you know what I'm saying? But I'm not sure if it came through to me from Global Research. They write about that type of stuff, but it was through email, but I shared it. That's how sometimes I bookmark stuff, is I'll share it on social media or whatnot. But now it's gone from my timeline, you know, but because the picture, it had all four state flags or nation flags, right? But it was Syria, Russia, Iraq, and Iran. Because remember, Iraq's government is run by Shias, which is what Iran is. And so that, you know, that shouldn't surprise anyone that they have an alliance and whatnot. And but now if Russia, which showed its hand and back in Syria, and now if those four have set up a command structure together, it's all over for the United States in that region, man, unless, you know, they're going to bring NATO into it. And the Israelis, man, they really playing with fire with their attacks inside of Syria, their attacks. So, man, it could just, like Brother David said, it's volatile right now, man.
Yeah, and Israel has attacked. They attacked Syria last week over the weekend, Sunday, because of, they said, some rocket fire that was fired in from Syria into Israel. Now, I want to say this, Scotty. Yesterday, the Secretary of Defense for the United States said that they were informed by the Russians in Baghdad. They walked into the embassy in Baghdad and told them that they were to have all of their military aircraft out of Syrian skies because of the airstrikes that they would be having later that day. And within an hour, they had it. John McCain said the exact same thing today. So that gives real credence to what you were just... It validates what you were saying, because this was done in Baghdad by a Russian general.
It make it sound like he drove up to wherever their command structure is. So, but I need another source, man, before I can, you know, report that as fact. But wouldn't that be an interesting alliance, those four in that region? United States would be looking, man, you are looking at a major war popping off.
Yeah.
Let me add this too, gentlemen. You're not only looking at a major war popping off, you're looking at a major war popping off that may go into multiple countries. Now, that's what's so unique about this, because guess what? If Israel stays in it, they're going to be at Israel's door. Because you have to understand, they're neighbors with Syria, more or less.
Yep, they are.
And if Syria and Israel gets in it, then Iran is going to raise its ugly head, and guess who fears Iran? Saudi Arabia. So Saudi Arabia is going to have to make a statement, which I think they're prepared to do now that China has cushioned them real well. You see, China is the unique thread in all of this, because China knows the prize is Africa. Yeah. And that's literally what they're trying to do. They're trying to play the powers against each other so that they can weaken themselves. And in doing so, they could come through and pick up the pieces. Because China's been slowly but surely building their defenses up, which is something they hadn't done in a number of years. So actually, when I look at this whole chess game, and they're playing with lies. So when I say chess game, I'm saying it from the position of the philosophies of the players. Because literally, the cost was going to go beyond anything you can imagine. Anything that any war has ever cost before will be multiplied numerous of times. Not only monetarily, but physically. And the reason why I say that is because you never heard the United States speak about the losses to their enemy. They always talk about how many troops, America's troops were lost. They don't tell you that when they went into Iran, that literally they killed millions of people.
You mean Iraq? Right. You mean Iraq?
I mean Iraq.
Yeah.
Yeah, Iraq. They killed millions of people.
Yeah, but I saw some of the bomb data assessment reports every night when I was stationed in Saudi Arabia. So, and you know, when you're seeing reports come in of 1,000 people here, 5,000 there, estimated 10, 15, 20,000 there, that adds up. Millions.
Yeah, absolutely. And the United States always lowballs their kills. Because you have to understand, when you're dealing with the most devastating killing machine in the world, it knows how to do it not only completely, but it knows how to hide up the numbers so it doesn't appear amongst its people like it appears amongst the people. That's why the Middle East has so much anger against America. America's foreign policies have always been a hammer. And now the hammer may come home to roost. And we have to identify the fact that all of these years, when the United States was in war, the people were silent. So don't think you're going to have a lot of compassion when it's on your shores.
Exactly. And it's so true. It's the perfect storm to bring in for the overall plan of global depopulation and the controlling and the maintaining and the advancing of the slave enslavement program that has been run by this country since its inception. Even before its inception, it's been rudimented in the overall fibers of the cultural development. So
Brother Dave,
it's such a fraud. It's such a fraud.
Yeah, there was another news report. Of course, you know, listeners, y'all heard it here first on Black Talk Radio Network. But we were discussing on my program and Brother Dave's program about the Syrian refugees that now I'm seeing are going to be like tens of thousands all across the U.S. and different cities and stuff. And so we've talked about that, but we talked about how that also can be a Trojan horse to get terrorists in this country, you know, that's being supported by people like the Saudis and whatnot, that's behind, you know, the death squads and the dudes that we seen video eating hearts of Syrian soldiers, you know, them kind of, them kind of Islamics, man, they could easily embed them. But now Donald Trump is saying what we were saying, not that we, you know, in any agreement with Donald Trump or support him or anything like that, but he now is saying that this is a possibility to, I think his words were Trojan horse to bring people into this country.
That was exactly it. And I thought of you right when he said it from just the conversation that we had. It was a week and a half ago. And that's exactly what it is. It's a real, real problem. And the thing about that is that they'll bring the refugees here, and then guess who will play out the terrorist act? It'd be sponsored by the FBI, sponsored by the U.S. government, sponsored by NSA, sponsored by CIA, sponsored by all of the regular, you can put two letters, syllables together, entities within this country, and they are the ones, because like Brother Davis had mentioned earlier, Scotty had mentioned earlier also, that they need, he said this on his show, they need to have war in order to fund their illegal operations. It is war in which they're able to do it. And from chaos, from the confusion and chaos comes order. And this is what, you know, we're really walking towards, and it's no longer a walk. It is a full-on sprint now. And this is going to be something that every person in this country, in some facet or another, is going to have to deal with it in so many ways, because they are going to be spread throughout this country, and it's going to adversely affect and give the potential, the rise of attacks here. But guess what? They'll blame it on someone else, like New York, but they'll be the ones that did it, the system itself. This is why, if you look at these refugees, how are they getting out of Syria and in that area? Is by government and corporate sponsors, because they control the air, coming by air. They control the rail, they're coming by train. They control the buses, they control, and they're coming by buses. All of the ways of transportation, these people are not packing up their belongings and walking across Europe. They're being transported as if they were an army. This is,
but that's not unusual.
Really,
remember now, they did the same thing with Germany. They brought Germans over here in the same subversive way.
Yep.
So we can't be surprised at that. But what I do want to point out is that regardless of how they go about doing it, this government has been bought and paid for.
Right.
So those people who are sitting back thinking, oh, not our government, it's no longer your government. This is a boardroom. And collateral damage is acceptable.
Yeah.
And the reason why I say that is because, literally, that's what our president is. He's the chairman. He's not making the decision. He's just the face out front.
Yep.
And literally, they're talking now that if we go to war, he may be able to sustain that position for an unlimited amount of time.
Indefinitely.
And,
yep.
And that is not good. But now, understand this. If that does happen, that means that the people will have to be in lockdown. And the reason why they have to be in lockdown is because Americans have a tendency to speak with their guns. And if the Russians don't hit our shores right away, that's why. Because they know that almost every household in America are, just according to numbers, there's like 2.5 guns in every household.
Yeah.
Although your household may not have them, but actually, when you do the numbers, yes, Russians, all these other outside countries, they know that as a warmongering country, the citizenry is armed.
Right. Right. Well said, Brother Davis. That is so true. And that is the one of the reasons why I know that they will, their objective will be to turn the lights out. That will be the most efficient and effective way to deal with that. And this is why you start to see all these shootings all over the country. You know, you had one today. As things start to become as the situation continues to destabilize globally, you're going to see acts in positioning here in this country before it actually starts to play out. The chess moves of the pawns, the rooks, the knights, the bishops, and the queen are moved, they will definitely position themselves here. And I really, really believe that there's going to be an advent of EMP to take out the lights in the overall capability of the general population, because they realize that this country, as Brother Davis said, there's more guns in this country than all of the world's military combined by 3 since Obama was elected president. That's how many were purchased. That's how many guns were purchased, registered legally, purchased legally in this country. Hey, we got to get ready to go to commercial break. When we come back, I got a quick video that I want us to listen to. Brother Davis, check this video out. It's about how to survive a nuclear attack. Because believe me, it has some really good things in it that we need to talk about. And when we come back, we'll jump into it. It's not that long of a video. It's like 20 minutes. And then we can come back and talk about what it is that you need to be prepared for. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. And we're getting ready to take a commercial break, and we will be right back in a couple of minutes. A couple of seconds.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
All right, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. And we are live today, and we have our brother Davis that's with us. And from time to time, as always, we have Scotty that jumps in with some great information. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, definitely give us a call. I think Brother Braggs was supposed to, maybe he got caught up. The number is 641-715-3660. And the participant code is 549032 pound, then hit star 61 if you have a question or comment. I got that right for you, Scotty. I remembered. If you wanted to get in on the conversation. But hey, just before we go to the video, one of the things I wanted to share with you guys that was so important is that the U.S., the Air Force is now sending over a unit of 300 to Turkey in their search and rescue for down pilots. Let me tell you, they're only sending those over if there could be confrontation, because they are not going to give up the sky. They're sending that unit over there who wasn't there before. Why? Just in case their planes go down. Why would their planes go down? Because they would be in the skies as Russia continues to carry out airstrikes. This is getting the signs and the positioning and all of the strategical, logistical movement of assets is in place. You can tell when things are real by the assets that are moved. And this is extremely telling when these assets were moved into the theater of operation in Turkey. So, hey, I got a video real quick, and the video's a pretty good one on how to survive a nuclear attack. And this guy gives some real good information and gives you some heads up on some things that you need to know now. So let's go to the video, check it out, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about it and some other things on how to prepare for what's coming.
So a big question that we're facing now, and have been for quite a number of years now, are we at risk of a nuclear attack? Now, there's a bigger question that's probably actually more important than that, is the notion of permanently eliminating the possibility of a nuclear attack, eliminating the threat altogether. And I would like to make a case to you that over the years since we first developed atomic weaponry, until this very moment, we've actually lived in a dangerous nuclear world that's characterized by two phases, which I'm going to go through with you right now. First of all, we started off the nuclear age in 1945. The United States had developed a couple of atomic weapons through the Manhattan Project, and the idea was very straightforward. We would use the power of the atom to end the atrocities and the horror of this unending World War II that we had been involved in Europe and in the Pacific. And in 1945, we were the only nuclear power. We had a few nuclear weapons, two of which we dropped on Japan in Hiroshima, a few days later in Nagasaki in August of 1945, killing about 250,000 people between those two. And for a few years, we were the only nuclear power on Earth. But by 1949, the Soviet Union had decided it was unacceptable to have us as the only nuclear power, and they began to match what the United States had developed. And from 1949 to 1985 was an extraordinary time of a buildup of a nuclear arsenal that no one could possibly have imagined back in the 1940s. So by 1985, each of those red bombs up here is equivalent of 1,000 warheads. The world had 65,000 nuclear warheads. and seven members of something that came to be known as the Nuclear Club. And it was an extraordinary time, and I'm going to go through some of the mentality that we, that Americans and the rest of the world were experiencing, but I want to just point out to you that 95% of the nuclear weapons at any particular time since 1985 going forward, of course, were a part of the arsenals of the United States and the Soviet Union. After 1985, and before the breakup of the Soviet Union, we began to disarm from a nuclear point of view. We began to counter-proliferate, and we dropped the number of nuclear warheads in the world to about a total of 21,000. It's a very difficult number to deal with because what we've done is we've, quote-unquote, decommissioned some of the warheads. They're still probably usable. They could be recommissioned. But the way they count things, which is very complicated, we think we have about a third of the nuclear weapons we had before. But we also, in that period of time, added two more members to the nuclear club, Pakistan and North Korea. So we stand today with a still fully armed nuclear arsenal among many countries around the world, but a very different set of circumstances. So I'm going to talk about a nuclear threat story in two chapters. Chapter one is 1949 to 1991, when the Soviet Union broke up. And what we were dealing with at that point and through those years was a superpowers nuclear arms race. It was characterized by a nation versus nation, very fragile standoff. And basically, we lived for all those years, and some might argue that we still do, in a situation of being on the brink, literally, of an apocalyptic planetary calamity. It's incredible that we actually lived through all that. We were totally dependent during those years on this amazing acronym, which is MAD, stands for Mutually Assured Destruction. So it meant if you attacked us, we would attack you virtually simultaneously, and the end result would be a destruction of your country and mine. So the threat of my own destruction kept me from launching a nuclear attack on you. That's the way we live. And the danger of that, of course, is that a misreading of a radar screen could actually cause a counter-launch, even though the first country had not actually launched anything. During this chapter one, there was a high level of public awareness about the potential of nuclear catastrophe, and an indelible image was implanted in our collective minds that, in fact, a nuclear holocaust would be absolutely globally destructive and could in some ways mean the end of civilization as we know it. So this was chapter one. Now the odd thing is that even though we knew that there would be that kind of civilization obliteration, we engaged in America in a series, in fact in the Soviet Union, in a series of response planning. It was absolutely incredible. So premise one is we'd be destroying the world, and then premise two is why don't we get prepared for it? So what we offered ourselves was a collection of things. I'm just going to go skim through a few things just to jog your memories. If you're born after 1950, this is just considered this entertainment. Otherwise, it's memory lane. This was Bert the Turtle.
A turtle by the name of Bert. When danger threatened him, he never got hurt. He knew just what to do. He ducked and covered.
These children are practicing to duck and cover just as you do in your school.
This was basically an attempt to teach our school children that if we did get engaged in a nuclear confrontation and atomic war, then we wanted our school children to kind of basically duck and cover. That was the principle. There would be a nuclear conflagration about to hit us, and if you get under your desk, things would be okay. I didn't do all that well in psychiatry and medical school, but I was interested, and I think this was seriously delusional. Secondly, we told people to go down in their basements and build a fallout shelter. Maybe it'd be a study when we weren't having an atomic war, or you could use it as a TV room, or, as many teenagers found out, a very, very safe place for a little privacy with your girlfriend. And actually, so there are multiple uses of the bomb shelters. Or you could buy a prefabricated bomb shelter that you could simply bury in the ground. Now, the bomb shelters at that point, let's say you bought a prefab one, it would be a few $100, maybe up to $500 if you got a fancy one. Yet, what percentage of Americans do you think ever had a bomb shelter in their house? What percentage lived in a house with a bomb shelter? Less than 2%. About 1.4% of the population, as far as anyone knows, did anything, either making a space in their basement or actually building a bomb shelter. many buildings, public buildings around the country. This is New York City, had these little civil defense signs. And the idea was that you would run into one of these shelters and be safe from the nuclear weaponry. And one of the greatest governmental delusions of all time was something that happened in the early days of the Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, as we now know and are well aware of their behaviors from Katrina. Here was their first big public announcement. They would propose, and they actually there were about six volumes written on this, a crisis relocation plan that was dependent upon the United States having 3 to 4 days warning that the Soviets were going to attack us. So the goal was to evacuate the target cities. We would move people out of the target cities into the countryside. And I'm telling you, I actually testified at the Senate about the absolute ludicrous idea that we would actually evacuate and actually have 3 or 4 days warning, which is completely off the wall. Turns out that they had another idea behind it. Even though this is, they're telling the public it's to save us, the idea was that we would force the Soviets to retarget their nuclear weapons, very expensive, and potentially double their arsenal to not only take out the original site, but take out sites where people were going. This was what apparently, as it turns out, was behind all this. It was just really, really frightening. The main point here is we were dealing with a complete disconnect from reality. The civil defense programs were disconnected from the reality of what we'd see in an all-out nuclear war. So organizations like Physicians for Social Responsibility around 1979 started saying this a lot publicly. They would do a bombing run. They'd go to your city and they'd say, here's a map of your city. Here's what's going to happen if we get a nuclear hit. So no possibility of medical response to or meaningful preparedness for all-out nuclear war. So we had to prevent nuclear war if we expected to survive. This disconnect was never actually resolved. And what happened was, when we get into Chapter 2 of the nuclear threat era, which started back in 1945, Chapter 2 starts in 1991. When the Soviet Union broke up, we effectively lost that adversary as a potential attacker of the United States, for the most part. It's not completely gone. I'm going to come back to that. But from 1991... through the present time, emphasized by the attacks of 2001, the idea of an all-out nuclear war has diminished, and the idea of a single event act of nuclear terrorism is what we have instead. Although the scenario has changed very considerably, the fact is that we haven't changed our mental image of what a nuclear war means. I'm going to tell you what the implications of that are in just a second. So what is a nuclear terror threat? And there's four key ingredients to describing that. First thing is that the global nuclear weapons in the stockpiles that I showed you in those original maps happens to be not uniformly secure, and it's particularly not secure in the former Soviet Union, now in Russia. There are many, many sites where warheads are stored, and in fact, lots of sites where fissionable materials like highly enriched uranium and plutonium are absolutely not safe. They're available to be bought, stolen, whatever. They're acquirable, let me put it that way. From 1993 to 2006, the International Atomic Energy Agency documented 175 cases of nuclear theft, 18 of which involved highly enriched uranium or plutonium, the key ingredients to make a nuclear weapon. The global stockpile of highly enriched uranium is about 1,300 at the low end to about 2,100 metric tons. More than 100 megatons of this is stored in particularly insecure Russian facilities. How much of that do you think it would take to actually build a 10-kiloton bomb? Well, you need about 75 pounds of it. So what I'd like to show you is what it would take to hold 75 pounds of highly enriched uranium. This is not a product placement. It's just, in fact, if I was Coca-Cola, I'd be pretty distressed about this. But, but basically, this is it. This is what you would need to steal or buy out of that 100 metric ton stockpile that's relatively insecure to create the type of bomb that was used in Hiroshima. Now, you might want to look at plutonium as another fissionable material that you might use in a bomb. That you'd need 10 to 13 pounds of plutonium. Now, plutonium, 10 to 13 pounds, this. This is enough plutonium to create a Nagasaki-size atomic weapon. Now, this situation already, I don't really like thinking about this, although somehow I got myself a job where I have to think about it. So the point is that we're very, very insecure in terms of developing this material. The second thing is, what about the know-how? And there's a lot of controversy about whether terror organizations have the know-how to actually make a nuclear weapon. Well, there's a lot of know-how out there. There's an unbelievable amount of know-how out there. There's detailed information how to assemble a nuclear weapon from parts. There's books about how to build a nuclear bomb. There are plans for how to create a terror farm where you could actually manufacture and develop all the components and assemble it. All of this information is relatively available. If you have an undergraduate degree in physics, I would suggest, although I don't, so maybe it's not even true, but something close to that would allow you, with the information that's currently available, to actually build a nuclear weapon. The third element of the nuclear terror threat is that who would actually do such a thing? Well, what we're seeing now is a level of terrorism that involves individuals who are highly organized. They are very dedicated and committed. They are stateless. Somebody once said, Al-Qaeda does not have a return address. So if they attacked us with a nuclear weapon, what's the response? And to whom is the response? And they're retaliation proof. Since there's no real retribution possible that would make any difference, since there are people willing to actually give up their lives in order to do a lot of damage to us, it becomes apparent that the whole notion of this mutually assured destruction would not work. Here's Sulaymane Abu-Ghith, and Sulaymane was a key lieutenant of Osama bin Laden. He wrote many, many times statements to this effect: we have the right to kill 4 million Americans, 2 million of whom should be children. And we don't have to go overseas to find people willing to do harm for whatever their reasons. McVeigh and Nichols and the Oklahoma City attack in the 1990s was a good example of homegrown terrorists. What if they had gotten their hands on a nuclear weapon? The fourth element is that the high-value U.S. targets are accessible, soft, and plentiful. This would be a talk for another day, but the level of preparedness that the United States has achieved since 9/11 of 01 is unbelievably inadequate. What you saw after Katrina is a very good indicator of how little prepared the United States is for any kind of major attack. 7 million ship cargo containers come into the United States every year. 5 to 7% only are inspected. 5 to 7%. This is Alexander Lebed, who was a general that worked with Yeltsin, who talked about and presented to Congress this idea that the Russians had developed these suitcase bombs. They were very low yield, 0.1 to 1 kiloton. Hiroshima was around 13 kilotons, but enough to do an unbelievable amount of damage. And Lebed came to the United States and told us that many, many, more than 80 of the suitcase bombs were actually not accountable. And they look like this. They're basically very simple arrangements. You put the elements into a suitcase. It becomes very portable. The suitcase can be conveniently dropped in your trunk of your car. You take it wherever you want to take it, and you can detonate it. You don't want to build a suitcase bomb, and you happen to get one of those insecure nuclear warheads that exist. This is the size of the little boy bomb that was dropped on Hiroshima. It was 9.8. Local rent a truck, and for $50 or so, you rent a truck that's got the right capacity, and you take your bomb, you put it in the truck, and you're ready to go. It could happen, but what it would mean and who would survive? You can't get an exact number for that kind of probability, but what I'm trying to say is that we have all the elements of that happening. Anybody who dismisses the thought of a nuclear weapon being used by a terrorist is kidding themselves. I think there's a lot of people in the intelligence community, a lot of people who deal with this work in general, think it's almost inevitable. Unless we do certain things to really try to defuse the risk, like better interdiction, better prevention, better fixing, better screening of cargo containers that are coming into the country and so forth. There's a lot that can be done to make us a lot safer. At this particular moment, we actually could end up seeing a nuclear detonation in one of our cities. I don't think we would see an all-out nuclear war anytime soon, although even that is not completely off the table. There's still enough nuclear weapons in the arsenals of the superpowers to destroy the Earth many, many times over. There are flashpoints in India and Pakistan, in the Middle East, in North Korea, and other places where the use of nuclear weapons, while initially locally, could very rapidly go into a situation where we'd be facing all-out nuclear war. It's very unsettling. Here we go. Okay. I'm back in my truck, and we drove over the Brooklyn Bridge. We're coming down, and we bring that truck that you just saw somewhere in here in the financial district. This is a 10 kiloton bomb, slightly smaller than was used in Hiroshima. And I want to just conclude this by just giving you some information. I think news you can use kind of concept here. So first of all, this would be horrific beyond anything we can possibly imagine. This is the ultimate. And if you're in the half-mile radius of where this bomb went off, you have a 90% chance of not making it. If you're right where the bomb went off, you will be vaporized. And that's, I'm just telling you, this is not good. You assume that. 2 mile radius, you have a 50% chance of being killed. And up to about 8 miles away, I'm talking about killed instantly, somewhere between a 10 and 20% chance of getting killed. The thing about this is that the experience of the nuclear detonation is, first of all, tens of millions of degrees Fahrenheit at the core here where it goes off, and an extraordinary amount of energy in the form of heat, acute radiation, and blast effects. An enormous hurricane-like wind, and destruction of buildings almost totally within this yellow circle here. And what I'm going to focus on as I come to the conclusion here is that what happens to you if you're in here? Well, if we're talking about the old days of an all-out nuclear attack, you up here are as dead as the people here. So it was a moot point. My point now, though, is that there's a lot that we could do for you who are in here if you've survived the initial blast. You have, when the blast goes off, and by the way, if it ever comes up, don't look at it. If you look at it, you're going to be blind either temporarily or permanently. So if there's any way that you can avoid, like avert your eyes, that would be a good thing. If you find yourself alive, but you're in the vicinity of a nuclear weapon, you have, that's gone off, you have 10 to 20 minutes, depending on the size and exactly where it went off, to get out of the way before a lethal amount of radiation comes straight down from the mushroom cloud that goes up. In that 10 to 15 minutes, all you have to do, and I mean this seriously, is go about a mile away from the blast. And what happens is, I'm going to show you now some fallout plumes. Within 20 minutes, it comes straight down. Within 24 hours, lethal radiation is going out with prevailing winds, and it's mostly in this particular direction. It's going northeast. And if you're in this vicinity, you've got to get away. So you're feeling the wind, and there's tremendous wind now that you're going to be feeling, and you want to go perpendicular to the wind or downwind if you are, in fact, able to see where the blast was in front of you. You've got to get out of there. If you don't get out of there, you're going to be exposed to lethal radiation in very short order. If you can't get out of there, we want you to go into a shelter and stay there. Now, in a shelter in an urban area means you have to be either in a basement as deep as possible, or you have to be on a floor, on a high floor, if it's a ground burst explosion, which it would be, higher than the ninth floor. So you have to be 10th floor or higher, or in the basement. But basically, you got to get out of town as quickly as possible. And if you do that, you actually can survive a nuclear blast. Over the next few days to a week, there will be a radiation cloud, again, going with the wind and settling down for another 15 or 20 miles out, in this case, over Long Island. And if you're in the direct fallout zone here, you really have to either be sheltered or you have to get out of there. And that's clear. But if you are sheltered, you can actually survive. The difference between knowing information of what you're going to do personally and not knowing information can save your life. And it can mean the difference between 150 to 200,000 fatalities from something like this, and 500,000 to 700,000 fatalities. So response planning in the 21st century is both possible and is essential. But in 2008, there isn't one single American city that has done effective plans to deal with a nuclear detonation disaster. Part of the problem is that the emergency planners themselves, personally, are overwhelmed psychologically by the thought of nuclear catastrophe. They are paralyzed. You say nuclear to them, and they're thinking, oh my God, we're all gone. What's the point? It's futile. And we're trying to tell them it's not futile. We can change the survival rates by doing some commonsensical things. So the goal here is to minimize fatalities. And I just want to leave you with the personal points that I think you might be interested in. The key to surviving a nuclear blast is getting out and not going into harm's way. That's basically all we're going to be talking about here. And the farther you are away in distance, the longer it is in time from the initial blast, and the more separation between you and the outside atmosphere, the better. So separation, hopefully with dirt or concrete, or being in a basement, distance and time is what will save you. So here's what you do. First of all, as I said, don't stare at the light flash. If you can, I don't know how you could possibly resist doing that, but let's assume theoretically you want to do that. You want to keep your mouth open so your eardrums don't burst from the pressures. If you're very close to what happened, you actually do have to duck and cover, like Bert told you, Bert the turtle. And you want to get under something so that you're not injured or killed by objects, if that's at all possible. You want to get away from the initial fallout mushroom cloud, I said in just a few minutes, and shelter in place. You want to move downwind or crosswind for 1.2 miles. You know, if you're out there and you see buildings horribly destroyed and down in that direction, less destroyed here, then you know that it was over there, the blast, and you're going this way, as long as you're going crosswise to the wind. Once you're out and evacuating, you want to keep as much of your skin, your mouth, and nose covered, as long as that covering doesn't impede you moving and getting out of there. And finally, you want to get decontaminated as soon as possible. And if you're wearing clothing, you're taking off your clothing, you're going to get showered down someplace and remove the radiation that would be the radioactive material that might be on you. And then you want to stay in shelter for 48 to 72 hours minimum, but you're going to wait, hopefully. You'll have your little wind-up battery-less radio, and you'll be waiting for people to tell you when it's safe to go outside. That's what you need to do. In conclusion, nuclear war is less likely than before, but by no means out of the question, and it's not survivable. Nuclear terrorism is possible, maybe probable, but is survivable. And this is Jack Geiger, who's one of the heroes of the U.S. Public health community. And Jack said, the only way to deal with nuclear anything, whether it's war or terrorism, is abolition of nuclear weapons. And you want something to work on once you fix global warming. I urge you to think about the fact that we have to do something about this unacceptable, inhumane reality of nuclear weapons in our world. Now, this is my favorite civil defense slide. And I don't want to be indelicate, but this... He's no longer in office. We don't really care. Okay. This was sent to me by somebody who is an aficionado of civil defense procedures. But the fact of the matter is that America's gone through a very hard time. We've not been focused. We've not done what we had to do. And now we're facing the potential of bad hell on earth. Thank you.
Okay, everyone. I played that video for a couple of reasons. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, definitely give us a call at 1-641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549032, then hit pound, then hit star 61 if you have a question or comment, and that will prompt me, and I will get right to you. Now, one of the things that I want to emphasize here, and it was the reason why I wanted to play that, but we'll do that after the break. Let's go to a break, and then when we come back, we'll jump into this conversation about this, because the dynamics of when this video was shot in 2013 has drastically changed. War by nuclear war is more probable than anything else now, than any other time in history, even the Cuban Missile Crisis. So you listen to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back right after this commercial.
This is Ron Hayes with Hood News, and you're listening to the Black Talk Radio Network. Stay tuned.
Elliot Booker, host of Time for an Awakening Radio on the Black Talk Radio Network, speaking in behalf of the Black Talk Media Project's 2015 fundraiser. Since 2008, the Black Talk Media Project, which has created Black Talk Radio Network, has engaged in producing original content from a black perspective for the global
black community. You can help us continue this mission and help us even more by giving donations to the Black Talk Media Project's 2015 fundraiser and asking others to do so also. Let us work together to make 2015 a stronger year for independent black media. Again, this is Elliot Booker of Time for Awakening Radio Program on the Black Talk Radio.
You are tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For live programming schedules, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
Okay, everyone, welcome back to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Wren, a.k.a. Dave from L.A. And, hey, if you'd like to get in on the conversation, I would love to hear from you. If you have some expertise in the area, definitely would love to hear from you. Give us a call, 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549032. And we have with us Brother Davis that's with us, who's going to be chiming in as giving us some great insight and things and food for thought for everything, because that's what we want you to think and be able to devise a plan for you and your family and overall the community. But one of the things I wanted to talk about really quickly, and Brother Davis had talked about this a little bit earlier, and I want to make this known to you guys. When the gentleman first started talking about the Manhattan Project and the significance of the Manhattan Project, well, see, one of the things that I've always noticed, and I would ask that you do too, is that these people lie to you about everything. One second. But they lie to you about everything. And the Manhattan Project, what they would tell you was that it was a project that was built in 1942 through 46. And that project was actually put together because the U.S. was engaging and wanted to have nuclear weapons. But see, that's the lie. That's the cover story. And then, as he said, that America was the only active nuclear country from 42 to 40 to 49 before the Russians developed nuclear weaponry also. Well, see, that's the cover story. What I mean by the cover story, that's the lie. The lie was had nothing to do about one nation or another, but see, that was what they told you, so you would just, so it would be justified by you, and you wouldn't question it, and you wouldn't do anything about it. You would support it through patriotism and all anything else, and you would say that this is what they need to do. You didn't even, what we didn't realize, but this was a design depopulation program, a strategical military operation of depopulation of who? The general population at hand, the public, the real enemy of the establishment. So what did they do? They got you to fund it, they got you to pay for it, and they built what they wanted to use against you. And they get cover story that it was done because of this country and that country. We're at war. We need to have a stronger military. And then everyone would say, yeah, we're behind that. That's what we need. You know, strong America and all of this other stuff. Little did you know that they don't care anything about where you're born from. They don't care anything about who you are, other than you being enslaved and indebted to them. Ways and means. Your way of life will provide for their means of life. So what did they do? They established this elaborate theatrical standing of governments versus each other, militaries versus each other, team versus team. This is why the advent of sports and competition has been inbred in us from the very day that we started living. Because in that, there is a team. There is, what did they tell you? There's no I in team. They get you on that team concept when the great creator God Almighty never made a team uniquely. There was a uniquely made of individuals. So now, you have this government and that government supposed to be at odds with each other, but behind closed doors, there are fraternity of concepts to control That's why they're part of the government. It means to rule. So now you have the development of nuclear weapons. So what do? You develop a so-called enemy, give them the same technology, have them using the same technology, and then what do you have? You have the perfect scenario to establish a war, but which is nothing more than a sacrifice. Because when you talk about it, and Brother Davis said this earlier, when the Manhattan Project was underway, they got the scientists from Nazi Germany. And guess what they were called when they came from Germany? They were called refugees. They were called German refugees. See, they use these same tactics over and over again because they work, knowing that we don't know history. And if you know about the Manhattan Project with the Nazi and through Operation Paperclip, and then the Oppenheimer family that was involved with it, known as the father of the atomic age, Robert Oppenheimer. If you know the history of Robert Oppenheimer, you know the whole history of controlling and the relationship with the Nazis and the sacrificial demonic rituals that they practiced, which was started, which was already in place, but was perpetuated out of Prague, where there was a rabbi named David Oppenheimer, the ancestral grandfather, great-great-grandfather of Robert Oppenheimer. And he fought the Swiss for the Nazis and defeated them. And guess what? The German king at the time gave him a symbol for his cult. And that symbol was known as the Star of David, Rabbi David Oppenheimer of Prague. And the perpetuation of the nuclear power age for destruction came through them, the Oppenheimer family, the same family that manipulates resources throughout this world, from diamonds through De Beers. De Beers are nothing more than Oppenheimer, an extension of the Oppenheimer family, through Apple. See, they tell you that Steve Jobs built Apple, but what you don't know is the behind story, why they decided to make a bitten fruit a part of their symbol, and what that all really stemmed from. The one that really built Apple was not Steve Jobs. That was the cover story once again. It was Peter Oppenheimer, the son of Robert Oppenheimer. And these people have... they wanted to institute nuclear power because it was the most effective and efficient way to have the sacrifice of burning people. And they sold it to the general public and the people of this world through energy and through MAD, Mutual Assurance Deterrent. They give you all of these elaborate schemes and scams. But if there was a real deterrent, it should have never been brought to market anyhow. But what they did was they knew that they had everyone right where they wanted, because we give blind faith to the authorities. And this is what caught us, because that mutual assurance destruction was just that. There was mutual, and you know, it's so funny that they play on the words, and they tell you everything, but they don't. They tell you everything before they do it. It's mutual assured destruction. They're mad. They're telling you that they're going to destroy you by nuclear weapons. Have they not already started through Fukushima? And then now they're going to continue this mad program. The mad program was nothing about deterrent. The mad program was actually about propagation and making sure it did happen. It lived up to what it really meant. It was mutually assured that they would destroy. They would destroy mankind because they know the technology to reverse radioactive poisoning. They know how to reverse it. They know how to minimize it, and they know how not to be adversely affected by it. But see, MAD was nothing of a deterrent. MAD was a guarantee that they were going to bring nuclear war, nuclear destruction, nuclear poisoning to you. And they've already started in Fukushima. They started in Chernobyl. They started throughout the places. There are so many nuclear reactors for energy throughout this whole world. And they're all what? Built on fault lines. All of the ones in the United States are. Who in their right mind would build a nuclear reactor on a fault line? See, they are in their right mind. It was a great design, but see, the key is, what is their design? To destroy and kill. So it's the most effective and efficient way to do that. Brilliant. Smartphone, dumb people. So,
Brother Dave, can I add to that?
Yeah, definitely. Go ahead, Brother Dave.
I want to point out that we're not talking about people who see life as average humans. See, they know already that humanity cannot save humans. I mean, when you think about it, literally, what they're telling you is that mutual destruction is acceptable because they believe in what's called transhumanism. That means you don't have to be a total human to operate as a human. Now, a lot of you are probably hearing this kind of information for the first time. You see, they've fixed the system so that 90% of the people believe 90% of their stories when they know 100% of them are lies. So what they got you to believe is that a lie is the truth, and the truth is a lie. And the sad part about that is that that's why you hear me use the term that I'm a field of dreams, not a dumping ground. They have made humans dumping grounds. And they've dumped all kind of stuff in you to confuse you. Because anyone in their right mind would know that if something says poison, you don't use it
right.
for anything. But yet, if you go to your bathroom and you pick up something as simple and basic as toothpaste, you use poison on a daily basis. Yeah, I'm saying this to you because you have to understand that what we're trying to get you to believe is the truth. They have not told you anything. Some of you are probably hearing for the first time that America is in the verge of war. Well, what they should be telling you is America's been in a war for the last 5-7 years. It's just that it's elevated now. You see, they show you the carnage they want you to see.
Right.
But they've been in a intellectual war for a number of years now. What it's coming down to is that they are prepared to tell you, now we're ready for you to die. So they keep you busy watching these crazy shows on TV. They give your children an education that debilitates them. And they tell you, come back next week and we'll do something. So you come back next week and they say to you, come back next week and we'll do something. Well, as long as you keep coming back, they're successful. But when you put your foot down and say, look, I'm not paying no more tax dollars till I get results, then you're a problem. Because you are starting to think independently the way true education is designed to get you to think.
Right.
So when we tell you that everything we say, you can go online or you can go to other resources and find it out to be true, there's still a certain portion of you guys who are going to say, that's all right, I don't believe it. And you're not going to do anything at all. And you know what? That's why we have Dave presented a video tonight. Because if you clash, now let me tell you what a clash is when your reality meets your fantasy. See, you really don't want your world to change. You want it to be normal. But you know what? that your world was never normal. You believe the lie. So now we're on the verge of putting this so-called in your face. And it's not our doing. We have to be the messengers. Hey, listen, make no mistake. Don't shoot the messenger. You have to really focus on the message, because that will give you a chance to be able to get through this. Because I'm going to tell you something. If you don't believe you will, you won't. If you don't think you can, you will not. And if you don't prepare, you don't have a chance. So all of the information that we've given you so far, if you, those who are willing and willing should be writing this stuff down. You should know what to do. When you see that, hear that bomb go off, you should know better than look up. You should be throwing something in the wind and see which way it's blowing. You should know that you got 20 minutes to get out of the initial area if you listen to that video. But if you didn't and you thought, oh, that's just something else being played, that's one less tool in your arsenal. Because guess what? There are some of us who believe that when we come out on the other end, we got work to do.
Right.
You people, some of y'all are probably saying to yourself, oh, we ain't going to make it. You're probably right. But you know what? There's some people who think they can do the impossible. And you know what? They're probably right. So you got to choose whose side you on and what information is going to work for you and move forward. The dollar's going to drop. If you have any government services, they're going to stop immediately. So that means that if you're looking for your food stamp, they ain't coming. If you're looking for your Medicaid, it ain't there. If you're looking for the opportunity to see a doctor, that's a very high, improbable concept once this gets started. So if you have any questions, find your answers now, because we don't know exactly when, but we do know this. When is imminent. Okay, brother.
Man, Brother Davis, so true. And my favorite part of many things that you said, and this is why you, Brother Bragg, Scotty, and all of the listeners and all the brothers and sisters that come in, I appreciate so much, because it's the most important thing is that when Brother Davis said that if you don't think that you won't make it, you're probably right. If you believe that you can achieve the impossible, you're probably right. And there will be another side to this whole thing, because we are much greater than the deceit and the lie of fear. Much, much greater. See, these people, their main goal is to put fear into your heart to make you think that they can kill you. And I would say to you, what makes you think that they can kill you and they didn't give you life? But when you stop worshiping them and their authority and worshiping their existence and stop worshiping their person, which has nothing to do with a human being, because a person is not a human being. Dutch Royal Shell is a person. The Home Depot is a person. It's not a living spirit. And until we stop becoming respecters of person and start respecting people, we'll never know the fulfillment of our capabilities to achieve the impossible, as Brother Davis so eloquently pointed out. So let's go over, and if you have any questions or comments, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call at 1-641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549032 pound, and hit *61, and then that will let me know that you have a question or comment. We'd love to hear from you. This is so important. It's for you. If you have questions, now's the time to ask them and do your research on everything. Don't believe what we say. Seek out first that hidden voice that's within you that we've suppressed, the one that we've been taught to ignore. The instinct, which is really, they call it an instinct, but is much greater than any form of an instinct. It's a spirit. that spirit and that communion that you have with every other living thing around you, the trees, the birds, the earth, the moon, the stars, the atmosphere, the water, the all living entities that the great creator God Almighty has created. But when was the last time that you were in tune with what God created? Because you replaced that ear, that ability, because of relationships that you started with what man has created. Our smartphone, our television, our magazine, our agenda, our possessions, our consumptions, and we've been consumed and possessed. Your possessions have possessed your spirit. So many of us are possessed. So now, let's go over some of the things that the video was saying that you need to do, in case, because this video was done in 2013. The advent of events, the advent of circumstances has pushed this past when they said the likelihood of a nuclear war happening is very slim. No, we've always been at war, as Brother Davis has said. There's always been a war against humanity, and that war has been based in manipulation and control and enslaving it. You've never not known a time in your life when you weren't a part of it. But now that you know that, there are things that you need to do to win and to position yourself and to empower yourself from the tools that have already been given to you. You already have the ability to overcome. It's more than just a dream. Dreams have a way of turning into nightmares, and nightmares have a way of becoming reality. We need to stop dreaming and start fulfilling our purpose, which is powerful. So now, the advice of this, and I want to add some things to it, very important. Number one, at this time in our lives, you have to always know where you are and where your escape route lies. You know, Brother Davis will be from here to there. But one of the things that I know that Team Davis does, and I know that Brother Braggs does, and I know that Scotty does, is that they don't go anywhere without knowing their way out. More than just one way, multiple ways. You have to prepare for something before something happens so that you can react in the necessary time frame that you have. Immediately after something happens is the most critical time, is your reaction to it. How will you react to it? So one, in these days and times, you cannot know your avenues of escape from a movie theater to a city and have a plan for that in thought, because just the immediate response to something is so critical. So, but they say this is their advice. One, avoid staring at the light. Keep your mouth open. Okay, why is that so important? We have all been taught to witness everything and to watch everything and to be spectators. You know how this always happens? And I'm going to tell you, this is what you should do to train yourself. This is a great training that you need to do. Let's say you see an accident on the road. An accident on the road that's been there for a little while. The emergency vehicles and everyone is already there. The first responders are there. Don't look. Don't look. But if it's an accident that happens right in front of you, you should look so that you can, if you needed to render aid, you must. But if the first responders are already there, there's nothing that you could do. You don't really need to know what happened. Break that train of thought now. Break that train of thought. Just for the purpose of being able to respond to things appropriately. Because if a nuclear device, small or big, and let me tell you something, China's already done their test run against the West Coast here in America 2 years ago. When Barack Obama was getting 6 years ago, when Barack Obama was getting his Nobel Peace Prize, a Chinese submarine went off of the coast of the Channel Islands down by Catalina and set off a submarine shot off a ballistic missile off the coast of California, out of Los Angeles.
Well, wait a minute, Brother Dave. I think it was Tando Radio's show I was listening to. These are recent events. Wasn't it the Chinese that was just running some sort of exercises in off of Alaska or off the Pacific coast? And then the Russians was doing something off the East Coast. It can't be a week ago.
Oh, yeah. That was, you're absolutely right, Scotty. But the one incident that I'm speaking about happened a couple of years ago when Barack was getting the Nobel Peace Prize, and it was the exact same time that the Norwegian spiral happened. Take a look at that. But what happened on this one, Scotty, was there was a Chinese submarine that was off the coast of California and set off a dummy, meaning it was just a dummy round. You know what it is for our listeners. They don't know what a dummy is. Set off a dummy ballistic missile, and they shot it into the atmosphere. And what did they do? They tell you everything before they do it. They showed how vulnerable the United States was to their new technology of not being able to detect the Chinese submarines coming into range to set off their ballistic missiles. And they tried to say it was a plane's contour. They tried to hide it and everything else. But I was in the military, and I dealt with nuclear weapons. That was a missile shot off a submarine. I'm afraid something speak about this. Then what Scotty is talking about, he's absolutely right. The Chinese was off of, they sent warships to the Aleutians. And Russia has been doing bombing runs against the U.S. through California and through other parts of the United States, coming within 50 miles of the airspace of the United States with nukes on board. They've also sent their submarines inside of the Gulf of Mexico. And they creeped into the Gulf of Mexico and did bombing and did missile drills. This is what the Russians have done. Then they've also done it off of the coast of, off of the East Coast. Yes, these events happened relatively recently, but the one that actually was the most acknowledged or reported on was that one where the ballistic missile was shot off by a Chinese submarine. And this is how you know that this happened. There was I believe it was a Norwegian cruise line cruise ship that went dead in the water. And anyone knows anything about nukes, that's one of the things that they do. They set off an EMP for everything around them so that they can get their ballistic missile off and then dive and run. That Norwegian cruise ship went dead in the water, lost all of its power. That was confirmation that was a ballistic nuclear weapon that went off. I mean, that was tested. A dummy round. But yeah, so it says, one, avoid staring at the object and open your mouth. You'll know if you hear it, you'll know that's when you have to open your mouth so you won't blow out your eardrum. Next, you want to duck and cover. I would say try to get against a building that is in the opposite direction of the blast. Your response to this has to be, you have to train yourself and know this now. Then it says, get away from the initial fallout.
Hold on, Dave.
Yeah, go ahead, Brother Davis.
Okay. I want you to understand. When you duck and cover, you have to be simultaneously thinking about grabbing a handful of something light that can be blown by the wind and toss it in the air.
Right.
Because that is a directional. You always want to be conscious of the little things so you can avoid the major things. So when you get to a situation where you feel you have to duck, make sure that you keep in mind what you're going to do next. That's why that's important. You grab whatever that is and just toss it in the air so you can see which way the wind is blowing. because that works to your advantage also. Okay, go ahead, brother.
No, great advice, because as Brother David said, it's not just going to be one or two things that you're going to have to do. You're going to have a strategical plan for everything, and you need to start with that now.
I always say, you can never be too prepared. And when I say too prepared, I mean, like Dave said, whenever you go someplace, you should be looking for the exits, the entrances, because whatever goes off, you're only going to be responsible for the space that you're in, and how you act in that space may determine whether you live or die.
So true. Hey, we're getting ready to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with Brother Davis talking about this. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, you have a question or comment, give us a call, 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549032, pound, and hit star 61, and that will let me know that you have a question or comment, and we'll get right to you. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
See, America, in terms of where she goes and, you know, like who she controls, a whole sphere of influence is diminishing. America is fighting on about 5 or 6 different fronts right now. Latin America, you know, like Africa, Middle East, and Vietnam, and here domestically. So I think that, you know, given the system and given that it operates off the military-industrial complex, which means that war is profitable and that, you know, like General Steel, USS Steel, must make steel for tanks to hire people, you know, to give people jobs so they can spend the money to buy other goods. The very fact that the system operates off that principle means that when the man comes back, when the man is run out of every country, then it will become necessary to wage war in his own country.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
Okay, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. It's your host, David Wren, a.k.a. Dave from L.A., and if you'd like to get in on the conversation with Brother Davis and my man Brother Braggs is in the house now also. Brother Braggs, how you doing? Give us a call at 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549032 pound, and then hit star 61, and we will definitely take your call. Hey, before we get going, again, what I wanted to say is that, you know, we're going to give you the actual what the suggestions were from the video, and then. But the most important thing is, and I know from Brother Davis talking to our preparedness group, and the thing that is so important is that you have to prepare for something when in sterile times before it goes live, because if you have to ask, and we've all been trained and conditioned to do this, is to ask. Is to watch and ask what happened. If you do that during a nuclear exchange or a nuclear bomb that went off, if you ask what happened, you are taking away from valuable time for you to give action to save your life. That is not the time to start to become all of a sudden a journalist, a infield from the streets reporting. That is not the time. And most people, if they don't prepare for something, they don't know what they won't. If they don't see something coming before it happens, they won't know what to do once it does. And they'll will be mummified, and they will be paralyzed and overcome by fear, and they won't know how to respond to it immediately. because there are things that you have to do in that situation. If you survive the blast, you have to realize that you have survived the blast, and now you have to get out, because the death of this blast, of the detonation, is not over. If, you know, the initial blast is only going to kill so many, the aftermath of it is going to kill much more, much, much more. The dying has just started. So there's a response that you need to have immediately. And there are so many indicators that will tell you what just happened, so you can respond as you move into retreat. Always move. Find out where the wind is going. So let's go over some of the things that they were saying. So then it was get away from the initial fallout, mushroom cloud. You got 10 to 20 minutes. Or shelter in place, underground or above 9 floors. That's if it was a surface burst. But if it was an air burst, you know, because there's different times, there's different kinds, then there's a response that you need to have. So you want to get away from the initial fallout for so many reasons. One, you want to move downwind or crosswind. What does crosswind mean? That means if the wind is blowing west, you want to go east. I mean, if the wind is going south, you want to go north. Okay? You want to go away from where the wind is taking whatever, like Brother David said, if you have a leaf, you have some dust. Whatever, you throw it up in the air, whatever direction that the wind takes that dust or that leaf, you want to move opposite of that. You want to create distance from the direction that was going in. Okay? That's upwind, because some people may not know. I mean, that's downwind. Okay? Next, it says keep your skin, mouth, nose covered if it doesn't impede your evacuation. Let me tell you, this is so important also. When you evacuate, you have to look at what is the most effective and efficient way to do that. If you see if there's a bike store along your way when you're evacuating, that would be the time to grab a bike, because cars won't be moving. The cars will not be moving because of multiple reasons. One, the traffic, but two, because of the EMP from the cars. They got rid of all, you remember Cash for Clunkers? They got rid of all of the cars that would have been immune to a nuclear EMP. And once again, they tricked everybody, give in your cars and we'll give you cash, because they knew the plan of the future. If the older cars would have been able to endure better a nuclear strike, because of the EMP factor, they wouldn't have been short-circuited. These new cars, these save the planet from, you know, the global warming people and all of that other stuff, and the emission people, all of that lie that's been perpetuated throughout this thing, those cars is going, even before it goes off, that things are going to stop. Never to start again. And then now they got everybody, because now even if you have an older car that could endure that, you're not going to have any roads to drive on, because all of those Priuses and all of those emission control cars is going to be stuck all over the place. Look at Atlanta during their major storm that happened a couple of winters ago. Gridlock. So even if your car, even if your old car does work, because of all of the cars that they have now, the proliferation of these EMP susceptible cars, they're going to be everywhere. Where you're going to drive, the roads are going to be congested. Gridlock. So if you have a bike around you, that would be the time to commandeer a bike. Next, get to decontamination as soon as possible. Seek medical attention. I would say this. Have your own way of decontaminating yourself. Because one of the things you may not want to do, you may not go into the system that brought this whole thing about. Because they'll decontaminate you, and then they'll, guess what? They'll detain you. I would not be going to Go ahead, brother.
Hey, brother Dave, this is Brother Davis now. I'm going to tell you. You have to think strategically, okay? Keep in mind this, to get below sea level. Because, the radiation is going to settle at sea level and above. If you can get below sea level, every city has catacombs. If you can't move around on top of the land, you got to learn how to move around under the land.
Right.
If you know how the city's laid out, that may be working to your advantage because you would know where the hospitals are, you would know where the fire departments are, EME, those sort of things that may offer you an avenue to get decontaminated if put in a situation like that. But I'm going to tell you something. The little things are going to make the biggest differences. Oh, by the way, check your compassion. And I know that sounds kind of strange, but listen, your emotion can get you killed. Because guess what? You deal with somebody who does not know how to judge the level of danger. That can be your downfall. So check your compassion. You're going to see some things that you're just going to have to say, there's nothing I can do that's going to make a difference and move on.
Right. Right. If you can't swim, you never jump in the lake to save someone that's drowning. Because they will pull you down also. And not only that, you, as Brother David said, you have to be able to assess the conditions that you're in and have an appropriate response. The appropriate response may be to be silently moving away from everything and keep moving. And keep moving. Because you have an obligation to you and your family. And all of the other obligations that you have. You know what they are. At the appropriate time, at the appropriate moment, is the time to render aid. It may not be at that time. 9 times out of 10, it's not. Because you don't know how extensive everything is. You just need to get out of there as fast as you possibly can. So now, if you're in a major city, one of the things that's so important is if you're in a major city, instead of hanging out this weekend, I'm going to tell you, these past weekends, I've been kind of busy. Instead of hanging out these past weekends, you need to know how to get in and out of your city in all different directions. In all different directions. You need to know where you live, where the capabilities and where the obstacles lie. What does that mean? That means that in, let's say here in Southern California, I know that there is only one or two ways out of the state. And that means that if something happens, I have to be on the first thing smoking out of here if it's going to be by driving. That means the time of things is the essence. That means something happens, but it hasn't fully blown up. I don't wait for the explosion because I know that I will be stuck. You have to be proactive, and you have to be able to anticipate. Nothing happens, you go back. You're fine. So, hey, we got Brother Braggs wanted to chime in. Was looking for Brother Braggs a little bit earlier. Glad he was able to make it. Brother Braggs, you there?
Yeah. How you guys doing today? Peace.
Peace, brother. How you feeling? Go ahead.
All right. I got a little caught up earlier, man. My phone went dead. Man, it's all right. Things like that happen. I just wanted to chime in. I was reading this thing talking about survival buckets where you have these watertight buckets with everything you need. It's like a go bucket. So something jump off, you throw the bucket in the car, it's watertight. What you should have in the bucket is like 12 energy bars, 12 8-ounce water boxes, 4 space blankets, 4 light sticks, 1 pair of disposable medical gloves or more, 5-hour emergency candles, 1 hour, 1 whistle, 50 water purification tablets, 4 thin plastic ponchos, 4 small packs of tissues, 1 tube, a tent, 1 4 lightweight dust mask, 1 pair of work gloves, 12 plastic bags, 1 small first aid kit, adhesive bandages, gauze, tweezers, everything you need for a first aid kit, 1 G1 style can opener, 50 feet of nylon cord, 1 small Swiss Army knife, 50 waterproof matches, 1 solar radio and flashlight, 1 package of toilet chemicals, 1 roll of duct tape. That's your go bucket that should be in the car.
Yep. Man, that's a good one, and I'm glad you said that, Brother Bragg. send that to me. I'm going to post it. And actually, you know, Brother Davis, we have
let me add one more thing to that kit.
Yeah.
Add a sewing kit.
Right.
Everything that you said is perfect, but add a sewing kit. Because a lot of people don't realize the strategic role that a sewing kit can play if you get cut or if you just got to have a way of mending something together to work as a shelter or some sort of cover. So a sewing kit always comes and plays its role.
And a tube of super glue, too, because super glue is good to close up clean wounds. You can just put a little strip of super glue, push the pieces of skin together, and it'll seal it.
My wife said rubber bands, too.
Yeah, rubber bands. Man, rubber bands. You know what, Brother Davis and Brother Braggs, what I'm going to do, we get together and put a list for the car with some things that people have. There's some good stuff because we would add our own to it because, you know, a sewing kit is a must. Rubber bands is a must. Tie downs is, of course, you know, being able to purify water is a must. The most effective, efficient way to do that where you're not carrying, because a lot of this stuff, as you add it up, but like Brother Bragg said, you put it in your car.
Right.
Ladies, when you go to work, let me tell you this. Ladies, when you go to work, for the ladies that wear high heels to work, you have to take some sneakers, some comfortable shoes, some supportive, comfortable shoes with you to work, because the cuteness will not work in survival. And I see a lot of times in men, if you're going to be walking around with flip-flops on everywhere you go, you better start having some real shoes in your car or somewhere that you can get to, you know, because of, you know, so many things, especially here in California because of the earthquakes. I look at dudes walking around in all these flip-flops everywhere, and I can tell right away, you've never been in an earthquake, and you never had to rescue people in that earthquake. Because if you did, you don't care how cute some darn flip, what I'd like to call toe thongs are, you wouldn't wear them. So,
and you know what else too, Dave? Things that
shoes are important. Yes, go ahead, brother.
Need some food. Beans and brown rice. I don't know what kind of beans people like. I'm a bean-eating brother, so I can eat any kind of bean. I'll survive. But put those dry beans up. Man, those dry beans are life, baby. That ain't no joke.
Well, right, you kill me. Yes, and let me tell you, if you're not someone that eats beans now, then you need to kind of start to introduce yourself so it's not such a shock to your system, because it can be you want to incorporate that now. Yes, get some rice, you know.
Brown rice.
Yeah, brown rice is great. Brown rice has if you got to package it right, because it does have a shelf life.
Right.
Don't use white rice, you know.
No.
There's
nothing
black
white,
rice.
Man. No white food. You want nourishment. You don't want dead calories. You want live calories. Well, as live as you can get in a situation like that. You want the best nutritional value that you can possibly get.
Exactly.
And you can also use quinoa. Quinoa is a high fiber food that can come in handy as far as adding energy and fiber to your diet.
Yes, so true. So great advice from the brothers, because, Brother Braggs is so right that your body is going to need real nourishment, especially from the stress. And one of the things that I would say in quinoa is definitely a great one. One of the things I would definitely say is that you have to prepare yourself to be able to deal with stress.
Well, you can't go into shock. You can't get shocked, because that's the biggest thing in the military. The thing that used to always throw me off, man, when I watched guys go into shock, man. I was a young guy, too. 18 years old, people falling out, heat exhaustion, overexhaustion, anxiety. And it's just something to behold when people crash like that. You have to keep your head. You have to keep your breath. Because if you lose your breath, a lot of times guys get so excited, that's what make them pass out. They get to hyperventilating, and they lose their breath, you know.
Right.
Can't let yourself be overly stimulated.
Or they do something stupid like wake at midnight and try to smoke a cigarette in an open area just because it's dark. You have to understand the mind is a tool that works for you, but it can also destroy you. One thing about evil is people don't realize evil only has two facets. You can stumble across evil out of ignorance, or you can stumble across evil out of insidiousness. Insidious means you plan that evil so you're knowledgeable. But those are the only two evils that can catch you. So if you find yourself victim of a circumstance, you got to look at how much of that circumstance you created and what your next course of action is.
Right. Next it says, great points, because I'm going to tell you, how you deal with this psychologically and spiritually is going to be the most important thing, because your body is temporal. Your spirit and your mentality is eternal. That should be where your first guard is. Now, the next thing it says, shelter for 48 hours to 72 hours. Make sure you have a solar-powered or a crank-powered two-way radio, and have some form of communications. And I'm going to tell you, Brother Davis is the expert in that, you know, some of the things and how to do that, because you're going to have to be able to know what's going on around you.
Absolutely.
Going to be critical that you know, because your direction of retreat or your direction of safety that you move in may not be, it may be clear from where you start, but it may be a trap laid for you, or the worst place, or the not the, the best place that you should travel. So,
also you should remember those situations about infection, airborne diseases, diseases from open wounds and open cuts. You have to be very clean when you're roaming around, and you don't have regular soap and water. You have to keep things clean. Cuts have to be kept clean.
Yes.
Absolutely. And this is, we've already discussed the reality of having a radio, at least a one-way radio that you can hear messages. Because, you know, if there's a rendezvous point and you don't hear it, you don't know where it's at. If you're fortunate enough to have a two-way radio that is submersible, chances are that you're going to have the best tool available for communicating. But at least be able to receive messages, if nothing else.
Yep. Make sure that you'll be able. Right. Exactly. At least have a one way. Now, this is probably one of the most important things. Have a plan that your family already knows. Discuss your plan with your family of how you are going to meet. What is the overall plan? It does not have to be a super extensive one. It does not have to be sanctioned by MIT. What it needs to be is just clear and simple. That will become, man, it's so important, because the last thing that you want is for something to happen in your family. You may make it, but your family could have made it if they were prepared from simple planning. Simple planning. Have your young children, have them have a plan, and you have a plan on what it is, how you're going to meet any threat. How are you going to get them back in your possession? How are you going to get them back in your presence? How are you going to protect them? Your family members that at work, be the rallying point. Where are you going to meet here or there? What is going to be the plan for different things? Because I'm going to tell you, one of the things that's going to happen is your cell phone is not going to be operable in that spot. Two, not only that, if something major does happen and your cell phone works, guess what? You won't be able to call a person three blocks away from you. You're going to have to call someone that is out of the area, maybe a state away, call them, and then they would have to call someone if the cell phones is working. Do you have that a part of your repertoire of communication? Then there's going to be a time where you're going to have to ditch all of your cell phones immediately. Get rid of them. One of the first things I'm going to do is get rid of my cell phone. Right away. Gone. Dropped away from me.
Good morning.
In the appropriate time. You need to know what that is.
Yep.
You need to know.
Can't be tracked.
You don't need
can't
to
be
tracked by anything. So, it's at the appropriate time. So, it's just so many things. Oh, man, it's time is flying. Well, listen, everyone. Once again, Brother Davis, hold on. Before we go, we got a question. Let's get this question. Sorry about this. Welcome, caller, to the Tando Radio Show. What's your question or comment?
Hello?
Yes.
Hi. I was. My concern is I have a kid with asthma, and medication, I'm thinking, would be, of course, hard at that time.
Mm-hmm.
What
inhalers,
can
you
be
gotta
used?
You've got to have extra inhalers.
Yeah.
I've got to have, my son has that. We've got to have extra inhalers put up. just in case.
Okay.
Gotta have
right. Yes, because I didn't want to cut you off because the time is short. Yes, if you can get
and you should be taking that child out and walking them every day to the point of exhaustion, so you can build up his resistance.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Wait, sister.
Yes.
Okay, hold on, and then there's another thing. One of the things that you want to look at is some of the natural ways to open up the lungs. I would definitely, if I was you, I would be looking at the essential oils called thieves oil. That and to that actually, my son had asthma and started to use that, and it was very, very beneficial to developing and allowing those lungs to get stronger. And also, I've had people that had bronchitis. Really bad mm-hmm. coughing spells, and they've actually inhaled, because you want to inhale thieves oil, and it opens up the lungs. So that's what you want to really start looking at, some of the natural, holistic, herbal things that the great creator God Almighty has placed here to cure diseases and not to give you health care that man has instituted. Hey, sister, give us a call back tomorrow or so, and then I can give you a little more detail on that. Because we're running out of time, and that is so crucial, because your son is that's a very, very dangerous thing, and it's a difficult thing to deal with, and that needs to really be talked about and explained. So there are some things that you can do to augment and to strengthen their lungs from natural things, and thieves oil is one of the things that definitely helps.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Okay, give us a call tomorrow, because I want to talk to you and tell you how to get the thieves oil.
Okay, will do.
Okay,
thank you.
Have a good one. All right, everyone, that's the end of the show. Thank you all for listening to the show. If you had any questions that weren't met today, sorry about that. Give us a call tomorrow. We'll follow up on this again. Brother Davis, Brother Braggs, thank you so much. Let's talk soon so we can continue what it is that we're doing. I appreciate you guys so much. Hey, there's never goodbye. As always, I'll see you later. And listen to the words of Sade in this last minute. I love this song. It means so much. Talk to you later. Much love, my
friend.
And you know tenderness comes.